Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and I'm excited to welcome all of our VFN Radio listeners from all around the country and the world. Joining with me today in the studio is Pat Hamilton. Hello, hello. I think he's here somewhere. Get the producer on the mic.
Here I am.
Oh, there he is. Are you producing? Are you?
Somebody's over here messing with my buttons.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I didn't see that. I like how he covers. But we want to welcome. We want to welcome everyone today. We have such an exciting program. We're going to be talking about Pastor Saeed Abedini and what's happening in his case. You know, Pat, he's been in prison now for a year and a half, I believe 504 days, and President Obama spoke at the National Prayer Breakfast, and we're going to actually play a little bit, a segment here for you. You got to listen to this, but things are happening. The ball is moving, and hopefully Pastor Saeed will be with us in America out of this Iranian prison. We're also going to be talking today about the surrendered life, having a heart that's totally surrendered and committed to the Lord. We're going to be talking about, Pat, Chinese Christians, our brothers in China, and how a woman was able, she was so fearless, she was able to save them, a bunch of Chinese Christians, from going into these labor camps. And you're going to hear her amazing story. And I'm just so, I feel so challenged, when I hear about, you know, the faith of our brothers and our sisters in China, what they're willing to endure, you know, their prayer life, their commitment to Jesus. And it just really challenges me to say, my goodness, you know, I want to go deeper. I want to go further and harder for God, because that's what it's all about. And we're going to talk more about that in the surrendered life. We're also going to be talking today about the citizenship game.
Awesome.
You're going to enjoy it. I'm not going to give you too much here, but you know, we're going to attempt to do something. We're going to go on the stretch. Don't laugh too hard at us as we attempt to answer these questions. But this citizenship test is a test that's given to everyone that wants to become citizens of the United States. And so, hey, we decided we're going to take the test to see how well we would, you know, do. And, well, you'll just have to tune in to listen to some of Pat's answers. But we want to start off with talking about Pastor Saeed and jumping right into, you know, this segment from CBN. This is really important because for quite a while now, for about a year and a half, ever since he was imprisoned in Iran, ACLJ, and I believe Jordan, Jay's son, really spearheaded this movement and the petitions.
About Jordan Sekulow?
Jordan Sekulow. And his wife, Pastor Saeed's wife, has been on the front lines as well. I mean, she's done such an amazing job getting the word out and standing with her husband. But here in Iran, he was first in Evin prison. I'm talking about Pastor Saeed. And then they moved them to another prison that was worse than Evin prison.
Wow.
And Evin prison was pretty bad. And we've heard in this last year and a half that he's been malnourished. He's not getting medical attention. They're treating him horribly. And we've basically have contacted, the Christian community has contacted so many people, our State Department, to get him released. And so, and trying to get the president's attention. And you're going to hear that the president actually responded to Pastor Saeed's plight. Wow. And we're believing that this is just a major turning point in his release. I want you to listen to this segment.
Is on assignment. U.S. President Barack Obama took a strong stand for religious liberty this week. Speaking at the National Prayer Breakfast in Washington, the president highlighted promoting religious freedom around the world. He also made pleas for Pastor Saeed Abedini and missionary Kenneth Bay. White House correspondent Jennifer Wishon reports.
Calling it key to national security and a central tenet of American diplomacy, President Obama focused his remarks on religious freedom and publicly called for the release of Christian missionary Kenneth Bay, who is imprisoned in North Korea, and Pastor Saeed Abedini, imprisoned in Iran.
We pray for Pastor Saeed Abedini. He's been held in Iran for more than 18 months. sentenced to 8 years in prison on charges relating to his Christian beliefs. And as we continue to work for his freedom today, again, we call on the Iranian government to release Pastor Abedini so he can return to the loving arms of his wife and children in Idaho.
The persecution of Christians has increased in some countries. North Korea leads the list that includes Iraq, Afghanistan, and America's ally, Saudi Arabia.
Honestly, we've been waiting for this. Last year, the number of Christians martyred for their faith doubled from the previous year. So it's been a mystery as to why it's taken this long. Nevertheless, we're excited and encouraged, I should say, that he has made a statement, a strong statement, I think, and hopefully we'll see some action on this point.
Diplomacy can be uncomfortable, the president says, especially when dealing with countries like China that are strategically and economically important to the U.S. The president says he stresses to Chinese leaders that China's potential rests on upholding universal rights, including rights for Christians. The commander-in-chief told the group of bipartisan lawmakers and policy shapers that he's thankful for God's guidance in his life, a faith journey that began with his work with churches as a community organizer.
I'm grateful not only because I was broke and the church fed me, but because it led to everything else. It led me to embrace Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. It led me to Michelle, the love of my life, and it blessed us with two extraordinary daughters.
Like religious persecution, poverty drains human dignity, according to Dr. Rajiv Shah. As the administrator for USAID, he's intimately associated with the world's woes and says by remaining devoted to faith, Christians can transform the world by helping to end extreme poverty.
Because this is now achievable, but only if all of us from science, business, government, and faith come together for the poor.
A woman who knows about overcoming shared her testimony. Hawaiian surfer Bethany Hamilton became a household name when she lost her left arm to a shark 10 years ago.
For many of us, it's easy to look at the things of this world to solve our challenges and the obstacles in life. But when we submit our lives to Christ, His grace, mercy, truth, peace, and love will bring true fulfillment to our lives.
Jennifer Wishon, CBN News, Washington.
Dr. David Curry is CEO of Open Doors USA, a ministry to the persecuted church. And earlier I asked him for his response to the president's speech. Dr. Curry, you were at the prayer breakfast. What was your reaction to the president's call for the release of Saeed Abedini and Kenneth Bay?
Well, Open Doors has been calling on the Obama administration to step up on the issue of the persecution of Christians around the world. A lot of people don't understand that Christians are the largest persecuted minority in the world. And so we were encouraged by his announcement of an ambassador at the State Department for religious minorities and the protection of religious minorities. And we see it as a good first step. It's a big issue. There's a lot that has to be done. And certainly there's been a big void in this issue from the administration, but we think this is a good first step.
Dr. Curry, do you think those words will become action? What impact do you think his words will have?
Well, if the administration follows through and begins to let their voice be heard on this issue, in other words, holds up the issue of freedom to express your religious beliefs, if they stand up and do the right thing on this issue, it's going to have a big impact. The world is looking to America to stand up and be heard on this issue. And there are just millions of Christians. For example, in North Korea, we believe there's Christians that are in prison for their faith, not because they've done any uncivil activity as you and I would know it, but simply because they wanted to read and study the words of Jesus and wanted to call themselves Christians. And that's just in one country, but there are other countries around the world where there are even more Christians imprisoned for their faith. So this is an important issue and America needs to be heard on it.
Well, let me ask you this. Did you expect the president to take such a strong stand for religious freedom around the world?
Well, honestly, we've been waiting for this. Last year, the number of Christians martyred for their faith doubled from the previous year. So it's been a mystery as to why it's taken this long. Nevertheless, we're excited and encouraged, I should say, that he has made a statement, a strong statement, I think, and hopefully we'll see some action on this point.
You say he can follow up by appointing a religious freedom ambassador. What kind of person should the president pick?
Well, I think we need somebody in this role at the State Department who will understand the dynamics here. It's not just about persecuted Christians. There are other religious minorities around the world that are not free to express their beliefs. But certainly Christianity is the largest religious minority around the world. And we need somebody who understands the needs of persecuted Christians around the world.
What can our viewers do to help the persecuted church?
Well, certainly one of the elements that's critically important is that Christians of all faiths, of all stripes, stand up and be heard on this issue. We need to stand behind our brothers and sisters in Christ and support these kinds of actions. And when there is no action, let our voice be heard. Make this an issue of prayer in our churches, in our small groups, and talk to your representatives to make sure that Christians are understood and heard on this important issue.
All right, Dr. David Curry, thanks so much for being with us today. We appreciate it.
Wow, that was so powerful. You know, we'll make sure this video is available for you on the Torch, but what you saw on the platform there at the National Prayer Breakfast was the president's wife, Michelle Obama, the president, Congressman Louie Gohmert from Texas, and Vice President Joe Biden. They were all there present. And this is exciting because, like the gentleman just said, we've been praying and waiting for the president to act on behalf of Pastor Saeed and really many of those that are falsely imprisoned all around the world. I mean, we also heard about Kenneth Bae in North Korea. And this is encouraging. We need to be informed, and we can't remain silent. You know, this is something that I've been carrying really heavy on my heart, the persecuted church, to know that brothers and sisters around the world are just being imprisoned. They're being mistreated. They've been taken away from their family. My wife had a chance to read this book, called The Heavenly Man, and it's about this Chinese pastor that was just spent like half of his life in prison just for following Jesus.
Wow.
And we have this wonderful chance in America to freely serve the Lord, freely to read our Bibles, freely to evangelize and to talk to other people about Jesus. And we need to make sure that we don't lose that freedom, and two, that we don't take that freedom for granted. That we remember. I'm looking forward to the day when we're all with Jesus and we're all sitting across each other. And I want those brothers and sisters to know that I was praying for them and that I didn't forget about them in the blessed land that the Lord gave us to live, but that we were standing with them. We were standing up and being heard. We were praying for their deliverance. And I'm just praying and believing that this is just the beginning for Pastor Saeed, 504 days in prison. And we're going to celebrate his soon exit from that prison. And who knows what else is going to happen next. But I'm telling you, these are some exciting days that we're living in. And God's answering prayer. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
What kind of guidelines must public school bus drivers take into consideration when using seasonal decorations? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
At our school bus meeting, we were informed that we were not allowed to put religious symbols on our bus, because we work for the school system. But we are allowed as school bus drivers to decorate our buses for the different holidays. What I wanted to know is, for the Easter holidays, does that mean I'm only able to put up the Easter bunny, but I'm not allowed to put up a cross?
It's one thing if they were to say, look, on the bus we want no material display. We want you to drive the bus. We don't want you to engage in other discussions. If they had a broad-based policy like that. But here what they've done is they've created a policy, and this is what's interesting legally, and we need to get you in touch with our legal office here at the American Center for Law and Justice. They've created a policy that allows for discussions. You can decorate for the holiday so long as your decorations don't reflect the meaning of the holiday.
Get involved. Find out how at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Come, follow me. Come follow me. That's what Jesus said. He said, come follow me. What does that mean? It means to be a disciple. It means to follow him. Listen to Francis Chan as he talks about the reality of today's church, and we have to begin to change ourselves and begin to follow him. I'll tell you more about it after Francis. Listen up.
You know, it's just so strange to me what we do in church sometimes with the commands of God. When you were a kid, remember playing Simon Says, you know, or Follow the Leader. Remember Follow the Leader? Some of you that are younger never played it because you can't get the app on your iPhone. But it was something physical. We used to go out and play, you know. We used to move. And you remember Follow the Leader, you know. Leader jumps, you jump, you know. Or Simon says, pat your head, and you pat your head. It's so weird how in the church we change everything. In the church, you know, follow Jesus has become a different game where in following Jesus, you don't actually have to do what he does. You just have to study it. Jesus says is completely different from Simon Says. If Jesus says something, you just have to memorize it or study it. What about making disciples? What about actually becoming like Jesus? Man, I've got four kids, and if I asked one of my kids, if I told my oldest daughter, hey, Rachel, go clean your room. And what if she comes back to me, you know, an hour later and goes, Dad, I memorized what you said. I can quote it verbatim. In fact, I can say it in the Greek now. She knows I'm not going to go, oh, that's awesome, baby. Or if she says, Dad, I had a bunch of friends over and we did a little study on what it would look like if we cleaned my room. Here's all the notes. It's going to be a 5-week study. You guys, she knows that doesn't fly with me. You guys, why were these commands given? Was it for us to memorize and study and on and on and on and just study them to death? And then at the end of our lives, we're going to go, God's going to say, wait, I asked you to make disciples. I asked you to baptize. How many people did you lead to the Lord? How many people did you teach to obey everything? Because that's what I asked you to do while you were on that earth.
Just think about it. You think about it. Although it's kind of funny, it's kind of true, isn't it? Jesus said this. He said in Matthew 7:22-23, he said, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. Then he'll say, and he'll tell them plainly. He says, I'll tell them plainly. I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Listen, we have to know him. We're supposed to follow him. We're supposed to abide with him. Apart from abiding him, it's impossible to do what's required of us and expected of us. But I'm telling you, it's nothing like it. Listen, we have a plan for you, a simple abiding plan. You can go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and request your free plan today. That's at iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm very excited about it. I know that everybody's pumped that's out there listening to us. Oh, there they are. Totally amazing. You know, just this week, isn't it quiet? Okay, listen, just this week, over 48,000 that we've reached just this week, you know, on the VFN radio reach is happening at VFN TV. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing how we just love you guys. We're excited about reaching out to you. And we're just beginning. We're just now getting our footing, you know, by God's grace. And if he empowers us, we're going to stay with you and we're going to walk this thing out. And maybe till the Lord returns, but at least until the stadiums are filled and we've fulfilled in our generation what he's called us to do. But it is time for the U.S. citizenship test. Of course, I always call it the USS, coming from my Navy experience, the United States ship. It's actually the United States citizenship test. Mm. And there's a test that everybody has to take to be able to become a United States citizen. It's a 100-question test. And if you really watch C-SPAN, you wonder if anybody on C-SPAN's ever even seen this test. You know, if you watch how they negotiate with each other, you're thinking, isn't it part of the basic citizenship test? And it's sort of like when I was in the Navy that you went through boot camp and you did all this tough stuff in boot camp. But once you got out of boot camp, it's like you didn't do that anymore. Unlike us Navy, not like the Marines, they continued to stay fit. And it was just like, if you can just get through boot camp, and it's almost like the citizenship test today, it's like, if you can just get through this test, you really don't have to do it. Just pass the test. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know what? We got to get back to the original intent of this. And what we're doing is we are taking five questions at a time, this 100-question test, and we're moving right along. I think everybody's doing fairly well. We're all learning as we go. We found out how competitive Pat is.
Yes, we did.
It's amazing, isn't it? We need to pray for Pat. It was pretty intense. it was pretty intense. And, you know, we just all need Jesus. We just all need Jesus, you know. And it's moments in competition. I mean, he's a Saints fan. You think you'd be, you know.
Used to.
It doesn't matter which way it goes or nothing. But, you know, I don't know where that came from. But here we are. Who goes first today? Do you know who goes
it's
first?
It's John.
Isn't that amazing? He slept on this all night long. You know what I'm saying? He didn't look at nothing. He just knew exactly it was your turn. Well, this is going to be a real difficult question. Then, of course, this is how it goes.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm going to ask you the question, and you need to pause and think, because when you tell me you're ready for the answer, that's going to be your final answer. And, of course, if you get it right, of course, everybody's always excited. Always excited when you get it right. But, of course, if you get it wrong... So here we are. Here is your first question for the United States citizenship test. Out of five today, we're going to do the first one, which is really the number 26 question. But first one today is, we elect a president for how many years? We elect a president for how many years? Here we are. This is the question. This is the question that Pat said you would take first. He's the one that put the order out here. You know what I'm saying? So cool.
Thank
it's just
you, Pat.
Ever.
No problem.
We elect a president for how many years?
4 years.
Oh my goodness. You did it. Oh, that is so wonderful. That is so cool. That could have been Pat's question, but he wanted to make sure that you had that question. He is just so kind. He is so kind.
So kind.
And how he does
you're
that.
You're welcome.
I'm sure he
and
will.
Compassionate. He's just, listen.
Well, he's kind. Kind.
Oh. Matter of fact, you can have the next one.
You can have the next one. Can you spell president?
How many colors are in the flag?
How many colors are in the flag? I was listening to VFN Radio yesterday. We're going to maybe sew in a new star on the flag soon for Puerto Rico becoming a state. Pat. This is a 4-year citizenship, you know, self-deport. You may have to go to New Orleans. here's the question. In what month, I want you to think about it. Wait, pause, think, then it's going to take a little bit. In what month do we vote for the president? All right, here we go. The question is from the U.S. citizenship test, which appear to be a little bit easier than some of the other ones that you've had.
Yeah, a little bit.
You know, in what month do we vote for the president of the United States?
That would be November.
Hey, oh my goodness. That was very good. You know, it's very important. Okay. Listen, it's very important because, you know, if you've never been here before and you want to know when the president you're going to vote for him. It's November, and it happens every 4 years. I mean, a lot of people don't know, well, how long does the sheriff, is he in office? How long is the governor in office? And we need to find these things out. I mean, who would ever thought that you know, a House representative's 2 years, senators, six years, and the president's 4 years. That's brilliant because there is no, all of a sudden, everybody's leaving office and brand new spanking people are coming in who don't know anything. Mm-hmm. Of course, they had no idea that people would just stay there forever like mold. They were thinking people would actually leave and go back to their farms and that type of thing. Maybe that day will come back. Okay, This question goes to John. John, here is the question. The question for you is, what? Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
The question is, what is the name of the president? What is the name of the president of the United States? What is the name of the president of the United States? Well, hold on my thought right now.
Okay.
John, what is the name?
Yes.
What is the name? What is the name? You need more time? You got this.
I think I got this.
What is the name of the president of the United States of America?
I'm going to go with.
This is your final answer now.
It's my final answer. I'm going to go with Barack Obama.
Hey, oh my goodness. Very good. President Barack Obama was just elected as the president in this November, because we vote for our president in November. And that was pretty good. You think you would have these questions first, right?
Yeah, right.
You think, oh my, you got 100 of these puppies. If it's already like that already, you know, what's the DNA of whatever? Okay, Pat. Here is the next question. The next question for you today from the citizenship test is, what is the name? What is the name of the vice president of the United States now? Okay, what is it? The final answer, what is the name of the vice president now?
That would be Joe Biden.
Ah, very good. Very, very good. Exactly right. He is the vice president. He's also known as Joe the vice president. He used to be called Joe the plumber. That was Joe the vice president. The final and the last question from the citizenships today, there's like a mouse situation that's going on right here. It's like a mouse, not a mouse, but a mouse. Is John, this is so important. This is from the citizenship test, from the United States, which we are finding out that we need to learn this. And it's really helping us out. But here's the question. The question for you today is, if the president can no longer serve, you know, as president, who becomes the president? If the president can no longer serve, who becomes the president? Okay.
Are you ready?
I think he was Googling it.
Let me see.
Oh, no. Oh, my goodness.
I'm going to go with. Would that be Joe Biden, the vice president?
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Yes. Well, as long as that he is the vice president at the time. So it's the vice president. Whoever the vice president is. And then you think about it. It's so important to understand that the reason why a president runs, when he's running for office, he has to find a vice president to go on the ticket with him. The reason why he does that, or possibly she in the future, is so that in case they're picking somebody that will be president, in case they get sick or something happens to them, and they can no longer serve in office. So it's very important, you know, is that person that they're choosing to be their vice president, are you confident that that they can be president? And it's so important because that's happened several times in America's history. Yeah. I mean, we've had, what, 44, 45, 46
presidents, I believe.
44? That's 44. 44. And that it's happened. And so you don't just get anybody. Would you be comfortable with that person being the president of the United States? Because it could just happen. You just never know. And so that's why when they pick a particular candidate and they really think it through and understanding this person is the person that I would like to be able to carry on, you know, after me if I wasn't to survive or got sick or something of that nature. Well, congratulations. You guys have done so well today.
Yay.
You would think from the citizenship test that these questions would have been first.
Yeah.
I know
y'all were sweating based on some of the other ones that that we had right there. But this is very, very important, and it's 100 questions. We're going to make this available on the VFN Torch where you could probably give yourself and share with your family. Well, what a way to be an American, to raise your children up to be able to answer these 100 questions. And what a way to go, you know what, I'm going to actually talk to my congressman and my senator and my governor and the questions I'm going to ask them these 100 questions. And then I'm going to say, you know, do you plan on bearing fruit in agreement with these in your office while you're serving off in the office? And that's like, wow, that's great. It's a brilliant form of government that our forefathers, you know, put together. But they came under many years of tyranny that brought them to this particular place. It didn't just come up with some scheme or some idea. There was a lot of pain and tyranny, and there's a reason why they did what they did. And so we need to regain, reboot, go back to the original tent of our founding fathers in the U.S. Constitution and understand, you know what? We don't want to mess up, you know, what many people gave their lives for us to be able to have.
Brunson Air and Heating in Mobile. They can do all of your service work quick and efficient. Give them a call today. Brunson Air and Heating. You'll be glad that you did. Cordova Lanes. The weather is changing. You want to do something indoors? Bring the family in Pensacola, right behind Cordova Mall. Visit Cordova Lanes, where nobody gets benched. DME, Digital Media Education. If you have an interest in learning how to create exciting and impactful videos or how to better understand the technology of recording and producing music, then Digital Media Education is for you. Contact them today. Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, go visit Tony Baker. Listen, doesn't matter if you're in good shape, bad shape, he'll get you in the right shape. All the training you can get for self-defense in Pensacola. Visit him today at Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We're in this for the long haul or until they take us down. We're in this thing. We are here all the way until the Lord says no. And we are excited about it. There are so many things going to happen and unfold. Understand that God is preparing himself a people across the world and across the nation. We believe there's going to be a third great awakening. There are men and women who may have bowed the knee, who may have done these things that everybody else has done. I mean, read our testimony. God's brought us out of all this. But when God redeems you, even if you bowed your knee, he'll forgive you. And so he said that he reserved for himself prophets that have not bowed their knee. Well, what we have, he's reserved for himself his son, Jesus Christ, that if we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, though we've sinned, though we've faltered, though we've made these mistakes and error and the enemy seduced us or lured us or whatever, you know, whatever it is, that when you repent, God forgives you. And it's as if you never bowed your knee. So it's not about a self-righteous, hey, I've never done anything wrong. Well, you just did that wrong, because that's not true. And that's pride and can't be used. It's false humility. But understand that if in fact that you want, say, God, I want to be a part of what you're doing. I don't want to be on the sidelines. I want to be a player, as we talked about yesterday. I want to encourage you. Today is your day. Today is the day that you can say, you know what? I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life, the Lord of my life. And I want to be forgiven. God, forgive me for everything, all my compromise, where I've bowed my knee down, where I've sinned against you and sinned against others. Restore me, cleanse me, be the Lord of my life. I'm going to begin to learn how to be your disciple and abide with you on a daily basis. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Awesome. Go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, and find out more about how we made that very same decision. We met our God, our Father God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, and you just did too. And share your story with us. Let us know that what happened. And also go to iabide.org and learn how to abide with Jesus. You abide in him, he abides in you, and you're going to be very successful as he measures success in your life.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and I want to welcome all of our VFN Radio listeners from all around the country and the world. Joining with me today in the studio is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
Hello. My goodness, listen, we have so much to talk about today in today's program. We're going to be sharing some interesting technology that is emerging, Pat, in our God's News Behind the News segment.
Oh, my goodness, even more.
And yeah, it's amazing how this happens. And we're also going to be talking about living a surrendered life. The key to fulfilling, really, our destiny in God is when we actually lose this thing we call life, okay? Mm. We actually gain a better life. But I don't know, you know... The more that I see things happening in society, it's amazing that with each new threat or scare, we are inching closer and closer, you know, as a society to giving up more of our security, more of our rights. And just recently, you remember over the Christmas holiday season, Target was hacked.
Yeah, I remember that.
By these hackers, and they stole a whole bunch of credit card numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been happening for many, many years now. Well, you know, we've been talking about the beast economy that will be approaching, that's approaching us, and the prophetic word regarding the beast economy. We've talked about it several times on VFN Radio, and in fact, you know, related to this segment, you'll see a bunch of those words. However, they have come up with this technology. It's a chip now, okay? Mm-hmm. Interesting. Mm-hmm. A chip and a pin. And they're talking how this is the future of all credit cards. I mean, this same technology right now is being used in Kenya, of all places, in different parts of Europe. And the idea and the concept behind this technology is to remove the black strip that's on the back of your card.
Mm-hmm.
So it no longer has a strip, but what it has now on the actual card is a computer chip. In fact, the developer is actually calling it, he's saying it's like having a small computer on your credit card.
Mm.
And so what it does, the way this thing functions, is to be able to, it communicates with the actual register with the store, and it kind of generates its own unique type of number with each transaction. And so, you know, first you have the card, now you have the pin and the chip. We've talked again about the RFID chips before,
mm-hmm.
and it's everything set up for tracking. I mean, and again, it's all about saving the money and all about the economy and all about, well, I mean, the Bible is very clear regarding the beast economy in Revelation 13. Very, very clear. In fact, this is what the Word of God says. Revelation 13 says, starting in verse 15, it says, the second beast was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that the image could speak and call and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. In verse 16, it all forced all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hands or on their foreheads, so that they could not buy or sell unless they had the mark, which is the number of the beast or the number of its name. Mm-hmm. And it's like, listen, catch a clue. We always, you know, you always wondered, what did it look like before everything came crashing down? You know, what did it look like before there was a transition? I think you're seeing it. Mm-hmm. They introduced things slowly. I remember when the first Palm Pilot, the first PDA portable electronic device came out, mm-hmm. where this is way before BlackBerry, way before smartphones, but they were little personal handheld computers, and you were able to send infrared messages from one of those, you know, BlackBerries to the mm-hmm. other. And one of the things that they were trying to do was be able to make, you know, payments through that way. In fact, you know, so you could send the payment to another, you know, terminal. Uh-huh. Well, there's a company right now that's actually has developed technology where you can actually put that software, it's like an app, on your phone so that you can start paying things with your phone. It means we are getting, with every single day that passes by and every single year, closer and closer and closer to this beast economy. And the whole thing is to usher the Antichrist and to finance, you know, that diabolical plan. Mm-hmm. And it's just for us to stay alert and to say, listen, I'm not getting no chip.
Yeah.
I'm not going to bow down.
No, thank you.
You know, and I'm going to serve the Lord. And I'm amazed at the amount of people that are hanging out in the wind and think that, well, at that time, I'll prepare. Listen, if you're already bowing down to Satan now in your life, let me tell you something. You're not going to be able to resist him later on. You know, the idea is to give your life to Jesus today and mm-hmm. to serve him and to serve him only. And listen, the Lord has shared with us, he shared with many in the body of Christ, the soon coming financial collapse. I'm not indicating or saying that these are any way connected, but it's like, you know, catch a clue. You know, things are happening and they're progressing at such a rapid pace today. And it's only the wise person, Pat, that says, mm-hmm. listen, I need to understand the sign of the times. You know, Jesus got onto the Pharisees because they were able to interpret the weather patterns, mm-hmm. and yet they were so dull that they didn't understand, they couldn't recognize. They were demanding another sign, and he's saying, hello, the sign is right in front of you. Mm-hmm. And the Lord, you know, has an expectation for us to discern the times that we're living in, which causes us to be dependent upon him. It causes us to be, you know, to draw close to him in our abiding relationship and to really walk out a relationship with the Lord where we're dialoguing and communing and seeking his heart and his vision and what's happening. And Lord, what will you have me to do? Mm-hmm. You know, God tells his friends the secrets. You know what I mean?
Right.
But you got to be his friend. You got to be his friend. And God wants to unveil, he wants to unfold, and he wants to reveal to us things that are happening, right? Because he's given us authority over this earth. But, you know, part of that unveiling and part of that knowing is you got to know him. You got to walk with him. And abiding is not something that, you know, is just a good idea. It's necessity.
That's right.
It's necessity to have a relationship with the Lord. And the byproduct is that the Lord begins to share his heart with us. Mm-hmm. And we begin to walk with him in fellowship and in unity and, mm-hmm. and togetherness. And it's time for the church more than ever to be alert, to be awake, and to know the season, to know the season, to know the timing. Listen, right thing at the wrong time is still the wrong thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's right.
You need to know what's right, and you need to know when to do it. It's you know, the knowing of what to do and when to do it that matters. And God will tell you if you're walking with him. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I was just listening to Paul Keith Davis talking about, you know, how God said, he must have said to Lucifer, he says, hey, you took one of my best men when Stephen was stoned, and he's, I'm going to take one of yours. As a matter of fact, listen up to this. This is just awesome.
By about 35 AD, two years into the Pentecostal movement, Stephen is stoned. I actually had I saw that experience myself in a visionary encounter where I saw Stephen being stoned. I saw as Stephen was dying, he looked up into heaven just like the Bible says. In my experience, the Lord stood up, as it says in the Bible, but he pointed his finger at the devil and said, "That one is going to cost you." And it did. I saw this undeniable link between the stoning of Stephen and the reaping of Paul. The devil stole one of God's great men, so God stole one of his. Don't think for a minute that the Lord's going to let anything get away. And in my revelation, the Lord said the devil would have been better off leaving Stephen alone. But now he's got to deal with Paul. And Paul is still a thorn in his flesh. And everything Paul did for the kingdom, Stephen shared in the inheritance.
That is so awesome. I mean, think about it. Everything that Paul did in the kingdom that Stephen shared in his inheritance is a revelation that God had given him. Paul Keith Davis. And it's just so often you think, oh my goodness, they took this man or woman of God out. And you think, begin to pray for the one that took him out, understanding that God was going to meet Saul on the road to Damascus. He's like, okay, all right. You don't see the bright light you saw in Stephen's face, you're about to see on your road to Damascus. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
And he took Saul. He didn't say, hey, let me tell you, Jesus saves. And if you want to make a decision for the Lord today, I got five fingers. This finger represents this, you know, all that kind of crazy stuff people do. He just said, boom.
Bam.
And Saul goes, Lord, Lord. And he's like, right. You know,
get on the right side.
And the organizer became the organized that day. Mm. And it's a powerful thing. But I love that, you know, Satan regretted the day that he ever took Stephen. And there's men and women of God that you, if you understand that right, because Saul was so toxic that when he got saved, nobody wanted him but God, but he was the answer to everybody for God.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And that's how toxic he was. He was such a, you know, he was too Christian to be sucked by the Jews and too Jewish to be sucked by the Christians and, you know, and all that. And here he was now having to go to a people and nobody wanted him at first because they were scared of him. Even the very man that was Ananias was going to pray for him.
You want me to go where?
You want me to go where
and pray for who?
Are you crazy?
Come on now.
Well, I don't know if he said about the crazy part, yeah. But...
Right. I'm sure he thought.
Wash me, Jesus. Think about that. That the fact is that look what God did with the very one that stoned Stephen. Over half of the New Testament was written by Paul. Let's begin to lift up our heads and realize God can save the hardest of sinners, the ones who are dogmatically set against Him. That if we'll pray for those that are held captive by darkness, God can set them free on the road to Damascus while they're riding their horse. God can knock them off their horse and show them His awesomeness, and they will immediately give up their ability to organize and say, "Organize me."
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We're just talking about, before our break, the technology that's advancing every single day and how, you know, we need to be prepared. We need to be watchmen on the wall. We need to watch, Pat, and pray.
Mm-hmm.
And then we need to pray some more and then watch. And then we need to watch some more and pray. I mean, you got to watch and pray. You got to look. You got to see. You got to hear.
All right.
And you got to talk to God about all this. And He'll speak to you back and He'll reveal to you and show you. But we need to be watchmen on the wall and not fall asleep on the wall, but be alert and understand the season and the times that we live. And so... they're getting ready to put chips, computers in the cards. Listen, it won't be long till they're saying, hey, you know what? You don't need that card. It's so inconvenient. Why don't you just go ahead and put that in your hand, put that in your forehead?
Mm-hmm.
And just go, you know, just put that thing in there.
Right.
I think not.
I think so. I'll pass
not.
On that one.
I know not. No, thank you. Speaking of technology, though, you know, it's not a wise idea to fall asleep on Israel. I just want to say that right now publicly. It's not, it's not a wise idea. Now, you heard of SUVs, but I want to talk to you today about USVs. And this is what is being known as an unmanned surface vessel. Now, there's been a lot of talk about drones, right? And drone is a plane that doesn't have a real pilot. It's like a remote control airplane, and they've been used to
big toy.
Yeah, a big expensive toy, expensive toy. But it's known to be able to take pictures and from very very high altitude, accurate pictures no less. And it was also used to actually, you know, kill people. To, you know, president has a, believe, a hit list, and different folks have been killed as a result of a drone flying over. Well, this USV, it's pat like a drone, but for water. It is an unmanned surface vessel, a USV, and it's basically a remote control boat.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and the reason they have this, okay, is that according to the Jerusalem Post, it's called Katana. And the whole idea is to guard Israel's coast and its growing offshore investments. It's saying that, you know, Israel's exclusive economic zone in the eastern Mediterranean is filling up with large-scale natural gas drilling, and the Navy is working with the government to approve a budget that will add four of these missile ship drones, unmanned sea vessels, so that they can patrol and protect the waters and their natural resources. They're saying this is part of their national security, and they're doing everything they can to offer this protection. We're going to make this video available for you on the Torch, but you got to see this thing. It's amazing. It's lightweight. It's actually very cool looking. Okay,
wow.
It almost looks like one of those PT boats, you know, that they used way back during, you know, in the wars.
Mm-hmm.
I think John F. Kennedy drove one of those, you know, steered one of those boats. But it kind of looks like that, but not really. But this thing is fierce, man. It has cameras everywhere. There's 360-degree looks.
Mm-hmm.
It has all kind of missiles on it. It is amazing. It has all kind of ability to read and distinguish between if there's a person on a jet ski or if it's, I mean, it's just, it's absolute, and it flies fast.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that they were showing is that it's actually convertible. So they can detach certain parts of it and then put up to four men in it. But when you think about technology and you think about what's available, I mean, so many things have changed in the last, you know, few years. So many things are on the rise in terms of what you can do with technology. Who would have thought that 10 years ago you would be able to send unmanned planes across the world and now unmanned boats that are electronically controlled and have the capacity to shoot missiles from a boat, from an unmanned vessel.
That's wild.
And Israel, I'm telling you, it's not a good idea to fall asleep on Israel. It's not a good idea to think that they're not going to defend and protect what God has given them. In fact, the Jerusalem Post is actually reporting that it's been 30 days that from Prime Minister Ariel Sharon's passing, and several of friends and family members have gotten together to just celebrate this man 30 days later. He was the 11th prime minister, Pat, just the 11th prime minister of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And he's had a very long career in the military and as well as being a prime minister. And he's been known as a lion. I believe it was a Rabin, another prime minister, who called him a lion of Israel.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then he was willing to stand in a gap in a time for Israel to protect this beautiful land and these beautiful people. And it's just encouraging to see that, you know, there's still a place where people honor and they respect and they remember the sacrifices that others have paid and laid their life down. And, you know, we're soon approaching the four blood moons in April. It's just days away. And remember, you got to know, we've shared about this on the Torch, and we're going to make sure that these four blood moon segments are related to this segment today so that you can go back and hear. I fall into you know, people fall into two categories when I started mentioning the Four Blooded Moons. Either they're familiar with them or they never heard about them. Mm-hmm. And this is basically NASA who is predicting, not, you know, John Hagee's been sharing about it, but he's not saying that he's predicting. So this is NASA who's predicting four blooded moons are going to occur over, I believe, a 15-month period of time.
Yeah, it's about a year and a half.
Yeah, starting April 15th.
Tax day.
Yeah, tax day, 2014. Mm-hmm. And every time that this has started, or these four blooded moons started, it began in tears for Israel, but it ended in joy. And there's several things that have happened the last time these four blooded moons have occurred. You know, one time the Jews were actually kicked out and expelled by King Ferdinand in Spain. Another time it was like the Six-Day War. And as a result, different things happened to Israel. I mean, America was discovered as a free land, an opportunity for them to have religious freedom. The second time, their borders expanded. And listen, this is a time for us to be watchful and prayerful. Just because you're not hearing anything going on in the Middle East as of recent doesn't mean that everything is going A-OK. In fact, when there's silence, it's a time to pray even more because something's cooking.
That's right.
Stay encouraged. Stay close to the Lord. Pray for the apple of God's eye. Pray for the church. Pray for the persecuted believers all around the world. Together, as one body, we will fulfill God's mandate. We will continue to spread the gospel all around the world and eagerly anticipate Jesus' soon and coming return. Oh my goodness, aunties! Listen, if you're looking for some barbecue, you got to go get some ribs, some pulled pork, and so much more in Cantonment. You don't want to miss it. Highway 29th and go north and let your nose lead you the way. For your sewing and sewing machines, contact Sue, the sewing specialist, at All About Sewing, your sewing superstore in Mobile, Alabama. Don't forget to contact her at 251-634-3133. It's All About Sewing with Sue. Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai. Buying a car can be an overwhelming thing. I encourage you to visit Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai, where Glenn makes buying a car smooth and easy. Visit him today in Car City. You'll be glad you did. In New Jersey, Yolanda's Cocina Cubana. Excellent Cuban food. Mm-mm, delicioso. Go in and get some for you and for me today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information. Phone numbers, web addresses, emails, call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
A special offer for you, and I want to tell you about it. It's called Convergence. My goodness, it's a prophetic word that's amazing, and the whole title is called The Convergence, A Choir of Prophetic Words, and it talks about ineptocracy. Unless America turns, America will burn, and the coming great awakening. I mean, this was a word that was shared, a convergence, a coming together, if you will, of prophetic words that was just really absolutely amazing. And I remember this day like it was yesterday because it just God just filled the studio. We were so gripped But you're going to hear words from Rick Joyner. You're going to hear words from Greg. Vision that God gave me in regarding the economy and it crashing. You're going to hear words from David Wilkerson, Steve Hill. And it seems that all of these words are just coming together at one time. Because listen, God is preparing his church. God is preparing his church. He's getting ready for a third great awakening. We want you to have this special offer. You can go to VFNTV.com, make an offer, any offer. But we want to get it to you so that you can be aware, you can know what God is saying, and so that you can prepare. Again, go to VFNTV.com, select a special offer, and get it today and share it with a friend.